Thank you, Chris, and hi, everybody. Glad you could be here today. So I'm very excited to talk to you about the new campaign that we're going to be rolling out this spring, which is our adaptation of the preteen vaccine campaign for parents and caregivers of American Indian preteens. First, I'm going to give you a little bit of background about our general audience preteen vaccine campaign. Then I'm going to describe to you why we thought it was important to expand the general audience campaign to reach the caregivers of American Indian preteens. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how we actually went about adapting the materials and messages for the moms and caregivers of those preteens. So I know you've heard, if you've gone to the adolescent workshops, you've probably heard this said, but if some of you haven't, I thought I would really quickly go over it. So in 2005 and 2006, the ACIP recommended three vaccines, Tdap, MCV4, and HPV for 11 and 12-year-olds. And the American Academy of Pediatrics, the family physicians, and also the Society for Adolescent Medicine all support these recommendations, and they also support the recommendation for a routine checkup at age 11 and 12. And in case you don't know this, parents generally are not aware of these recommendations. And so that's why CDC went about mounting our campaign to help make them aware of the recommendations. So the goal of the general audience campaign is through formative research to create a media and public information campaign to educate African American, Caucasian, and Hispanic parents about the recommendations and also about the checkup. We wanted to motivate caregivers of 11 and 12-year-olds to have their children immunized, to increase their awareness about the benefits of immunization, to prevent disparities, and to promote the checkup, and then last, to make sure that healthcare providers have the materials they need in order to educate parents. So we initiated our adaptation of the preteen campaign materials mostly because we know that there are higher cervical cancer rates among American Indian women than there are among their non-Hispanic white counterparts. We unfortunately don't have data to show that there are different rates of meningococcal and Tdap among American Indian children than there are among their white counterparts, but we do know that the cervical cancer rates are higher. And so my colleague Allison Friedman and I applied for some special funding through the National Vaccine Program Office through a program at the time that was called the Unmet Needs Program. And we put the proposal together, letting HHS know that there were indeed these cervical cancer rates that were higher, and because of that, we really wanted to make sure that American Indian moms knew about the HPV vaccine and knew that they had a tool at their fingertips that they could use to help break the cycle of higher cervical cancer rates by vaccinating their daughters. We do have HPV vaccine coverage rates from the NIST, although last year the NIST didn't have the actual power to break down the rates by race or ethnicity. This year, for the first time, we are going to have the power. So when we release those data late in the summertime, we will actually, for the first time, have racial ethnic breakdown. But last year, we did know that 25.1% of 13 to 17-year-old girls had initiated the series, and 23.5% had received the entire three-dose series. So for a fairly new vaccine, we're doing pretty good, but we don't know how that breaks out across the racial and ethnic groups. So the general audience campaign, as I said, targeted Caucasian, African American, and Hispanic moms initially, and also the healthcare providers who serve their children. So in phase two, we are expanding the campaign to American Indian 11 and 12-year-olds, and I also just wanted to mention to you that we're also expanding it to Korean and Vietnamese moms to ensure that their children also will get vaccinated against HPV, MCV4, and Tdap. And the reason there, again, is because Korean and Vietnamese women have higher rates of cervical cancer. So in the proposal that we wrote to NVPO, Allison and I also included these two subpopulations of Asians, again, because of the higher rates of cervical cancer, although today I will not be talking about those two groups. So I wanted to give you an overview of our project. Like I said, it's funded in part by the National Vaccine Program Office, and I always have to acknowledge them and their kindness. During the first year, we went about awarding an RFP to two organizations so that they could conduct formative audience research for us in the form of focus groups. And then we conducted those focus groups with caregivers in New Mexico and Oregon. And you might ask, you know, why did we choose New Mexico and Oregon? Well, essentially we wanted to look at what was going on with caregivers in at least two regions of the country. And so we put the RFP out looking at the Pacific Northwest and the Southwest. And it happened that the organizations that won the RFP proposed to do their research in Oregon and in New Mexico. So it wasn't that we, as CDC, dictated that it needed to be done in those states. It was that the organizations that applied for the funding told us they had the capacity to do the research in those areas. So during year two, which is what we're in right now of the project, because it's two-year funding, we are revising the educational materials and messages based on our findings from the focus groups, and we're establishing partnerships with key community organizations and healthcare providers who serve American Indian preteens. And when the materials are completed, we will be printing them and posting them on CDC's website so that, one, we can distribute the printed versions, and two, once our small print budget runs out and we have no more items to actually distribute, folks can go to CDC's website and download color versions and black and white versions and print them themselves. We're also funding an organization called RRP Consultants to do a pilot project for us in New Mexico. This is a very, very small pilot project, but it's CDC's way of trying to find out how we can implement a community-based media and social marketing project with American Indians to see, one, if it will work, and two, what sort of capacity it takes to do this sort of project, and three, how well it's received in the communities. One of the reasons that we actually chose to do this in New Mexico is because we had great tribal support from four tribes in New Mexico, where the leadership in those tribes said to CDC, we will let you come do formative research here with our tribal people, but we want you to commit that you will come back and you will do education with our folks here, and that you will attend events and educate parents. And so we made that commitment to them. So what our RP consultants will be doing is they will be distributing what we call small media, which, you know, one of the differences between small and large media is large media would be things like, you know, television PSAs or billboards and, you know, things like that. And small media is more like things you would actually hand out to parents, bookmarks, postcards, things that they can hold in their hands. So they'll be distributing small media. We may actually do some local radio PSAs for the stations that actually have, or the, I'm sorry, the tribes that actually have their own stations. And then our RRP consultants will be doing workshops for the moms. So they'll actually be getting small groups of moms together, you know, groups of 8 or 10 or 12, to talk about the three vaccines and to talk about, actually it's now four vaccines because we've added influenza, so to talk about the four vaccines and the four diseases, and to answer the questions the moms might have about these diseases and about the vaccines and why they should get their kids vaccinated. And then, of course, to also talk about that 11 and 12-year-old checkup and how important it is to get their kids in for a checkup. So I want to talk to you a little bit about our focus group research, because I thought that might be of interest to some of you, to see kind of what sort of knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs we learned about from these folks, because I thought some of you might be able to take this back to the work that you do. So we explored KABs. We also talked about the medical checkup. We talked about all the vaccines and the diseases, and we tested some educational materials. So overall, we conducted 14 focus groups. Seven of them were in Oregon and seven were in New Mexico. We conducted them all with female caregivers, and that's because overall, it really seems like moms are the ones who take their 11 and 12-year-olds in for their health care. And all of the groups were moderated by an American Indian moderator. In order to qualify to participate in the groups, a woman had to be a caregiver of an 11 or 12-year-old. She had to tell us that it was her responsibility to make healthcare decisions for that child. Of course, her partner could also contribute to that, but she had to say it was one of her main responsibilities, too. She had to live in this area, either the urban area or the tribal area, for 6 months of the year. And she couldn't work in a health-related field, a marketing or advertising field. And we also wanted moms who had a range of income levels. These are the materials that we adapted. So some of you who are familiar with the preteen campaign have probably seen these before. The piece on the left is a poster about HPV vaccine. It employs both an emotional appeal and a factual appeal. It uses a flashback story for the emotional piece. It says basically, when you were 3, I was there to manage your knee. And when you were 6, I helped you sound out the big words. And now it's time to protect your daughter from cervical cervical cancer. And then on the bottom, there are some different statistics about cervical cancer and information about getting the vaccine for free. The document in the middle is a one-page fact sheet about HPV and HPV vaccine. And the document in the lower right is a question and answer document about the three preteen vaccines, and asks who needs them, or answers who needs them, when they need them, and talks about the fact that they're safe and that also who can get them for free, basically the Vaccines for Children program. So we adapted those materials. We changed some of the information on them to make it more culturally appropriate for American Indians. We changed the photographs, we changed the colors, and we added borders. So we tested the materials in different ways, or we created different, slightly different materials, I should say, for New Mexico and for Oregon. And we did this by getting input from our key partner organizations in both of the areas. So we asked, you know, what colors seem to resonate better in the Northwest versus the Southwest, what sort of photos should we use, etc. I also want to just make a little note here that we actually commissioned a photo shoot because, as many of you who work in the American Indian community might notice, there are very few photos available, particularly of 11 and 12-year-olds. So we did commission a photo shoot, and a number of these photos are from that photo shoot. And so these are the materials we tested in New Mexico, and these are the ones that we tested in Oregon. And you can see that they vary a little bit in color, and that the borders are shaped similarly, but they do also vary in color. And then the photographs vary a little bit as well. So we did ask about all three diseases and vaccines. I'll start with meningococcal. Across the groups, most participants had heard of meningitis. A few of them mentioned that they thought it affected the brain or the spine. In Oregon, people mentioned that they'd heard of a case of a college student. So clearly, if there's been some sort of outbreak locally, that seems to have an effect on people. And it makes it more real to them. Recognition of the term MCV4 vaccine varied across the groups. Some people had never heard the term MCV4 vaccine at all. In most of the groups, the women wanted to know more about the disease. And I would say that overall, across all of the American Indian groups, this was a really significant finding. People really needed more information overall about these diseases. They were very inquisitive about the diseases. They wanted to know how common it is, what the symptoms are, and what the outcomes can be. And some of them also wanted to know more about the vaccines themselves, such as what the side effects are, why it's recommended for 11 and 12-year-olds, and whether it's optional or required where they live. With regard to pertussis, across groups in both states, a few of them had heard of it, but more of them were comfortable with the term whooping cough. Those that had heard of it associated it with the bad cough, but overall, knowledge about causes and severity were really, really limited. Some of them thought young babies and seniors could get it, but most of them did not associate this with death. So there's certainly a great opportunity here to educate about the severity of this disease and to particularly educate about what it can do to infants and why they would want to protect the infants in their community. In over half of the group, some of the participants had heard of Tdap vaccine, but they couldn't always remember what it was for. They just knew enough to say, I recognize that term. And then some of them said it was a booster for tetanus, but in the case of the adolescents, we really do want them to understand that connection with whooping cough and, again, protecting infants and the idea of adolescents, you know, harboring pertussis. And so, again, a great opportunity to do education. And in order to decide whether they would get their child this vaccine, parents wanted to know, again, more about the disease. Tell me more about why this is a threat. What causes it? What are the symptoms? What should I look for in my child? And is it really serious? And how are they going to get it? And then what are the short and the long-term side effects of the vaccine? It's interesting that in the American Indian parents, their concerns about vaccine safety are not really things, you know, most adolescent parents don't bring up autism, but, you know, they wouldn't really bring up things like that or even very specific safety concerns. It was more just general, you know, I don't want to do something to harm my child. Is this going to be okay to put into their body? It wasn't such a specific concern of any sort. So when it came to HPV, the findings are really interesting here. Across both states, some knew that HPV is sexually transmitted and that it's associated with genital warts and that it's associated with cervical cancer if you don't take care of it. So they, some got the idea that there's this, a spectrum of disease. And in rural New Mexico, some did not know at all about the link between HPV and cervical cancer. And I think that we need to be... I say all of these things with great delicacy, and I think that as educators, we really need to be very sensitive about this, and we need to realize that that in addition to this kind of to educating about immunizations, we need to think of ourselves in general about being disease educators, and we need to realize that you know, truthfully, I think the educational systems that people in rural America have and that some of our American Indians have access to are perhaps weaker than some others have access to. And therefore, the health education they've experienced is not as good as what others have experienced. So therefore, their knowledge of physiology or the, you know, just overall the health education they've gotten about sexually transmitted diseases and heart disease or whatever it may be is maybe just not as strong as others. And so in the case, I think, specifically of HPV, we've got some serious issues with women not understanding basic information about PAPs and cervical cancer, and that's going to translate to them not understanding how to protect their daughters when it comes to the HPV vaccine, because fundamentally they don't understand, and they haven't in some ways been exposed to some of the Merck information that's been out there that a lot of the others have been exposed to in the last couple of years about the idea that a virus can cause cancer. And so we need to take it upon ourselves as those who work in immunization to take those steps to educate folks. And so I share this information with great respect, and I don't want anyone to take lightly the idea that somebody might not understand that HPV is linked to cervical cancer, or especially the content that's in my next slide, which is that some women didn't understand that only women have cervixes, and that they would ask us why there weren't pictures of boys on the flyers, and don't boys get cervical cancer too? And I think that we really, you know, owe it to these communities to, if, you know, we may not be the cancer educators in the community, but now that there is a vaccine for cancer, we need to take that next step and make sure that if we have the opportunity to educate American Indian moms, we do explain what a cervix is and why this vaccine can help protect their daughters. And in the case that we do end up having the vaccine at some point available to boys, explaining how it can protect a boy. And again, if the boy doesn't have a cervix, why they still might want to get their son vaccinated. So I hope that that sort of made sense to all of you and wasn't all garbled. Also, I need to make the point that some of them still think that cervical cancer is genetic. So then the idea of getting a vaccine seems to not make sense to them at all. So how could a vaccine possibly interrupt cancer? You know, if you're just destined to get cancer, why would you vaccinate? And again, we all need to take steps to help educate people about that. Overall, most caregivers had heard of the vaccine through direct-to-consumer marketing, but some people hadn't, and there was definitely more knowledge in urban areas than in rural areas. And I think that has, you know, again, something to do with how much television people watch or how much access they have to television. So there are definitely different educational needs in rural versus urban areas. When we refer to the vaccine on flyers and such as an HPV vaccine, that doesn't necessarily resonate if you don't understand the concept of HPV, a virus causing cancer. I think in many places we would do better to call it a cervical cancer vaccine. We use the statement cervical cancer is about 25% more common in Native women than in white women because we were trying to help people realize, look, you've got this great tool to stop this. You can break this cycle. And I have to say that it didn't work well. Women felt very stigmatized by this statement. They felt singled out. It was not motivating to them, and they did not like being compared to whites. Unfortunately, the way our epi data work, we don't actually have data put together in the way that they asked us to present it to them, which is they said, well, could you not compare us to all the other races together instead of just to whites? And as many of you probably know from looking at numbers, that those aren't how the numbers come in. And I've actually asked our epidemiologists, could we put the numbers together in a different way? And we can't do it. So I think that we have to go back to just kind of either using narratives to talk about you know, why it is that you should want to protect your daughter and how much power you as a mom have to do that, or we just need to use the general statistics about how common cervical cancer is in the U.S. So unlike caregivers in the general audience focus groups, AI caregivers didn't raise concerns about the 11 and 12-year-old recommendation. We didn't hear moms saying, oh, that's too young, you know, oh, she's not having sex, I don't want to do this. That really wasn't something that came up. Some did want to know if girls and women older than 12 can get the vaccine, and so I think it's important for us to make sure that our materials do explain that the 13 through 26-year-olds can get vaccinated. Some wondered why 11 and 12-year-olds were chosen as the target group. It was a curiosity thing, but not a judgment thing. And some, there was an initial confusion about why boys were not pictured, and so ensuring that there's information on the flyers about boys is very important. And they wanted to know what boys could do to protect themselves. So having some statement about that is something we might want to include. Many of you probably know that the Vaccines for Children program does entitle American Indian and Alaska Natives to free vaccines if they are 18 or younger. And so we had information about this on the flyers, and we found some very interesting things. First of all, many moms didn't know that their children are entitled to this, but also some moms found this to be offensive. They found that they felt it kind of singled them out. And we also tried to let them know that they might be charged a fee for vaccinating, the administration fee. And they found that language to be very confusing. And so we at CDC really need to work on how we communicate to moms that they are eligible for free vaccine, but that there might be this fee. And so we really are working hard to do that. And I think I just kind of covered all of that. So, in Oregon, some of them were skeptical about safety, and this seemed to be because we had placed safety information next to information about the cost of the vaccine, and they felt like this was kind of a hard push. And they did bring up smallpox blankets and the history of smallpox blankets, which of course made me really upset because I had absolutely no intention of causing such anxiety in them. And certainly we have to work on the placement of the information. I hope that if we move it around, we might be able to do away with that. On the other hand, I know a lot of communities there is that memory, and we may not be able to do anything about it at all. But in the groups, they did point out that intentionally that, you know, they said, look, right here, you tell us, you know, it's safe, and then you tell us it's free. You know, it's like, oh, hey, look, we have these blankets. They'll keep you warm. I think there's kind of only so much we can do, but I did feel really awful about that. In both states, folks wanted some more data, and so I think we need to work on adding that to our flyers and to our posters. And sources of information, this was sort of interesting. CDC was recognized for our outbreak information, and we were respected, but people didn't necessarily see us as a health education agency. Generally, very few people recognize the HHS logo. And in urban areas, we found that people use the internet, and they also trust their healthcare providers. And in the rural areas, they really depend on each other, elders and the community health workers. So definitely as part of this campaign, we're going to be partnering with all of those types of folks to get our messages out. We did test photos and different images, and we found out some very interesting things about those. They were glad to see some multicultural images, and they also liked group images better than individual images. And they also liked to see elders in pictures, and they liked the statement, protect the circle of life. So I will conclude there. And hopefully all of you have handouts which have my contact information on them. Please feel free to get in touch if I can answer any questions for you. Thank you.